Consider this the luckiest day of your life, Toad.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Zella, calling from the future, and I just want to let you guys know to stop making fun of my voice. Yeah. Listen to my silky smooth baritone voice now. You guys better run, because if you saw how good I look too, I'm incredibly sexy.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
This is Shelley from Shelley's Podcast, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio. I don't understand anything you guys talk about, but you have more hosts per gallon than any other podcast, and that's got to be worth something.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is Extra Life Radio number 93. We are inching ever closer to the elusive 100, or 100th episode. It is June 13th, 2006, Tuesday night as usual. You're probably enjoying the show on Wednesday. Thank you for being here. Would like to say right up front that we are sponsored in part by YouByNow.com. Go check them out and use the Extra Life code to save 10% on your next purchase. And while you're at it, we have a new sponsor, ArcadeTown.com. Go check them out. They have lots of great downloadable games, tons of free stuff. Great new sponsor. We'll be doing some exciting things with them in the future. That's ArcadeTown.com. Let's jump right to the show. Before I bring in the usual band of retards and idiots, I would like to let everybody know that we have a female guest here in the studio. Kim, welcome back to the show.
Hello, thank you.
How you doing?
I don't have much of a voice, but yeah. I'm happy to be here.
You've had some weird allergies this week,
and
it's been taking a little bit out of you.
But yeah.
It's good to have you here, and I like that you're right behind me having to look at the back of my head the whole time we have a show.
That's always exciting.
Yeah. Are you down with that? You're all right with it?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Now that we've done the more elegant and fairer species, or fairer sex of the species, let's jump to the less fair versions.
Show.
Oh, hello. Yeah. We have with us, I like to mix things up and go out of order. So today we're going to say, coming from the Wang of America, Andrew from theinstance.net. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Pretty
75.
Well.
75.
75.
I'm just saying stuff to confuse you.
That worked.
Scott doesn't know how to count. You know that.
You know, in my head I went, it's hotter than that in Florida. But anyway.
No, it was like 90-something. Of course, we survived. We had like three tropical storms off the coast last night.
Yeah, scary stuff, dude. Watch out. Watch your internet. That's what matters most, because this show must go on. Also with us from commissioned.com, one of the finest webcomics on Earth.
We Actually, have
with
it's us commissionedcomic.com.
I meant commissionedcomic.com. I'll edit that in.
Oh, you meant.
That's what I meant.
Oh, then it's okay.
I need cue cards. I don't remember anything. But Obsidian joins us once again from the fine embarrassment of Colombia.
It's called Colombia.
Welcome to the show, Obsidian. How are you this week?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. Thank you for asking.
Well, we've been enjoying your little audio rants on commissioncomic.com.
Don't lie, Scott. You don't listen to
I have. I just listened to today's. It was the longest, most drawn-out thing I've ever heard. I'm just kidding. It was great.
Thank you, Scott.
No, I totally enjoyed it. I like that stuff. So keep it up. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, check out commissioncomic.com and check out the audio rants that Obsidian is doing. An extension, really, of his personality here on Extra Life Radio. But with a sound all its own. I hear crickets.
Okay. that's nice.
Let's move to Brian. Brian, who comes to us from missiondeep.com and really the worst part of America, South Carolina. Brian, hello. Oh,
hello, this
says
is
the big old dinosaur from Utah.
Hello, this is Ahmed. Brian can no longer do the podcast. Oh, he is outsourcing to India.
Oh, I see. You're his house boy. Is that what that is?
That's right. Yeah.
I dare you to do the whole show in that voice. Think you can do
I quit.
It?
It's not like he talks much anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
hey,
Now, Brian's a little behind on his comic this week, but fear not. It's very regular
and awesome. We'll catch up.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's right. Great comic. Go check it out. Mission
Deep. Don't let it happen again.
Yes.
I know it. Well, at least I didn't write a comic about pizza.
This is true.
Well, that comic was awesome. I mean, pizza's awesome.
It's turned ugly early.
There's no
going
back.
Come on, Andrew. You're just safe because you don't have a comic.
Actually, I did like that. I did like that comment, but I felt like I bet Obsidian just wrote this and said, crap, I'm out of ideas. Let's see.
Well, but I explained that in the audio rant. I said, you know, I ate like a whole pizza all by myself, and at the end I was so full that when I was going to do the comic, all I could think about was pizza.
And that's not good.
I'm like, you know what? Let's just make a comic about pizza.
That was great, though.
Well, it's always good to have all of you here. And I should mention, I'm Scott Johnson. I didn't say that at the start of the show, or did I?
Nobody cares.
I don't really
it's a good thing that you let us know who you are, Scott, because I could have sworn this was like some dude named Rick running the show.
And I heard your wife say a while ago when you referred to her as the fair sex, I think she said something about your fair sex or something.
Oh. No, she says I'm totally fair. Oh, never mind. I can't get into that. We'll never let that one.
We are
down.
No longer allowed to say the word sex.
All right. Yeah, I'll leave that up to you.
It's like the whole image of your parents. No, it's like.
Man.
Here, usually the one.
Because Scott is like a father to me. So Scott, to me, is like a Ken doll. You go to his hands and there's nothing there.
Nice,
oh,
dude.
Man.
Well, word on the street is it's true. Yeah, oh, sorry.
That is the word. We should say, if you're new to the show, you can check out things about this show and everything else that matters at myextralife.com. Let's move on with what we have, and we have plenty. Now, we got a very... I want to play this right up front because it's kind of funny.
I got you, babe.
It's a very ironic call for Andrew for some reason, and you'll see why.
Do you even know what ironic means, Scott?
That's what I was with.
Yeah, I know.
I may not.
This song's not, this is not totally...
You know what? That song is wrong. Let me just, for a second, let's just talk about that. Isn't it ironic, right? Don't you think? Right, same. That stupid song by what's her name?
Yeah.
Alanis.
My wife keeps looking at me like, oh, dude, you're not going
to
talk about this.
Who used to be on the TV show, you can't do that on television, on Nickelodeon.
Rain on your wedding day is not ironic. It's bad luck. It's not ironic. There's nothing ironic about that. It's the stupidest lyric in the history of the world. It ruins the song's core. And then the
Scott
other one.
Gets so Scott. Mad every time that song comes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott gets like fumes.
I'm not arguing with you, Scott, but I am warning you. You're walking dangerous territory. You're speaking about fields of the language that you probably don't know anything about. So you're taking big risks here, man. I mean, you're going to start receiving emails as soon as you screw up. And the way I see
from
it, that's
English professors.
Inches away.
You know what I like? You know what I really like?
Most of those emails, he won't be able to read it all. So.
My favorite part. Now, this is ironic that the Mexican is telling me how to talk English. That is ironic.
touche, Scott. Touche.
So that's how the song should go. Isn't it ironic or no? It's like Obsidian correcting English today.
Oh, man. You know why they
we just lost like 50% of our
listeners.
And Kim probably just died right there.
She's getting out. She's actually leaving.
I got a question for you, Scott.
She's inching her way toward the door. Say what?
Do you know why she sings that song?
Because she's angry.
Because she gets paid too?
She's a bitter little pill. Why?
No, she sings that song so you don't, Scott.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah.
Man, how did we not see that coming?
That was pretty good.
That's the oldest trick in the book.
Okay, check this out. We got a call from Scott Fletcher, of all people.
Uh-oh.
And he has a question for Andrew, so let's do this right.
Okay, boys and girls, turn down the lights and gather around my feet as we try to stump Andrew.
Now, he's not really... That's actually Scott Fletcher, which is important because he's the caller as well. But what's interesting about this is... He's not really stumping you. In fact, he's asking you a question. I think he's got you confused with Obsidian. Let's determine that on the other side of this call. Check it
out. If it's that question about that rash, it is.
Hi, this is Scott Fletcher. I have a question for Andrew. Andrew, how could you like such a lame-o movie as Final Fantasy whatever, Advent Children? So I get excited to see it. I go to the movie store, and there's one copy, but it's always out. I check back every day for like 3 weeks, and it's always out. I finally get it. And it's a lame-o piece of crap, huh?
Okay.
So that was definitely for me. He confused me with that.
But I have to answer this at the same time. We just recently watched it. Like, I've seen the Japanese version, but I actually got it on Netflix so we could see it dubbed.
The English one,
and,
right?
Yeah, and me and my stepdaughter and April, we all sat down and we watched it. And I think Square screwed themselves. They made the first Final Fantasy movie have nothing to do with the games, and it didn't do well, and it ticked them off because it didn't do well over here. And when the first one came out, they said they would never do another one. Well, they do this one, and they make it so tied to the games that if you've never played the games, you're completely alienated as to what the heck is going on.
It's a little freaky. So Obsidian, I actually think he's the... I think what he's saying is he thinks Andrew's the one that shows all this love toward Advent Children, and it's really you. So he may just... He may have gotten
confused. I liked it. Visually, I liked it.
Yeah.
And everything, but since I didn't play all those Final Fantasy games, there were certain parts that when it happened, April's like, who's that character? And I was like, I got nothing. I don't know. You know, I have no idea who that is.
Well, let's get the perspective of somebody who saw it totally, totally cold turkey.
He sleeps with a copy of it.
My wife, Kim, one night, we turned that thing on, right?
Which movie?
We watched that Advent.
Hold on.
Back up.
No.
Finally.
The Final Fantasy Advent Children thing, the weird Japanese computer anime
I
thing.
Remember that
okay,
much.
Now she's not a huge Final Fantasy person, so
that's
let's
called
get
hentai.
We'll get a real impression of a movie like this from someone who's a novice at the Final Fantasy stuff. What did you think?
I like the graphics.
You like the graphics.
You got her well, man.
Yeah, she liked the graphics.
Yeah, you trained her well.
I liked it, though.
It was fun and it was exciting.
It was a very entertaining movie. I really liked it.
Did we know what was going on, though?
Some of the time. Not all of the time.
You knew that people had swords that also doubled as guns, and that there were a lot of blonde, sort of androgynous-looking bad guys, and there was a lot of exploding. And we love that sort of thing in this house. It's really our motto.
Exploding androgynous men. That's your motto.
But the point is that it's a little weird if you're not used to it. And my guess is...
It's on their family crest.
Yeah. It's right there on the mailbox. But I'm guessing that Scott Fletcher saw this movie and didn't get all that. And you know what? I'm kind of with him. It's weird. It's hard to understand unless you're a total aficionado of the games like Obsidian is. It may just go right past you.
Let's be honest. Okay, first of all, it's called Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. So it's pretty obvious that it's just like a...
You're not gonna know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a sequel
it's
to the game.
That it's a,
I do have
sequel
to
the game.
I do have to say, my favorite character in the movie was Vincent.
Yeah, Vincent's cool.
Well, yeah, Vincent. Vincent's a big favorite of everybody. But it's like, for example, you see any sequel to any movie, and chances are that some of them you're not gonna get. But my biggest point is, okay, isn't like that director David Lynch very big? In the U.S.
Yeah, he's kind
of
popular.
Watch a movie of his, and I swear that Final Fantasy VII Advent Children is 100 times more coherent than that Lost Highway or Mulholland Drive crap.
You know, the thing is I totally back you up on that, Obsidian.
You know what? I do in every case except for Elephant Man and that one where the guy rode the tractor mower across the country. Those two Lynch movies.
Yeah, I saw that one too, and that one made sense, but... I saw Lost Highway, and every 5 seconds I was going like, huh?
Yeah, Lost Highway. I even watched Lost Highway at a friend's, and I watched it twice, and I still didn't quite get what the hell was going on.
Which your friend didn't appreciate, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I was like, you know, the movie's over with, and I'm like, no, one more time, you know?
Yeah, here we go again.
Get out.
Yeah, and Mulholland Drive, it's just like I went to sleep. I fell asleep. I woke up. And I turned to the person that was watching the movie with me, and I'm like, did I miss anything? And he's like, it would have been the same. You know, you're probably understanding the same I am.
All right.
So, like, why is it okay for Mr. Lynch to make those movies?
And it's not okay for some unknown Chinese guy to do the other, or no,
actually,
Japanese guy.
Japanese.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Actually, if you look at it that way.
Eyes are slanted, that's all I know. I don't know.
If you look at it that way, asking why it's okay for David Lynch to make a movie is just like asking why does Uwe Boll get money to
make movies. That's true. Admittedly, Lynch is a little nutty, but, you know.
But actually, I think, isn't Squaresoft like in Hawaii or something?
No, I don't
know.
The
American division is in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idiots that decided to slap Enix on the end of it are there. That's who's in America.
No, they didn't slap it on there. They bought Enix. Yeah, they bought Enix, who makes really good RPG games. I don't know why they didn't use both. Why they use both names?
Yeah, because a Square Enix is like it sounds like a kind of currency they used in the Middle Ages. That'll be one Square Enix from you, boy. It's totally stupid. Anyway, yeah, not that, as stupid as what I just said.
Bad.
We need to do a new segment. This is called...
You know what Big Old Johnson sounds like?
What? Oh, I see. It's a rhetorical question. Here is our new segment, ELR's Jerk of the Moment. Jerk of the Moment.
That sounds wrong. It's terribly wrong.
Jerk, hold on. Jerk of the Moment.
Should be like, so wait, Scott goes, here's ELR's Jerk of the Moment. He goes, so I'm in the shower.
No, nothing like that. This is Jerk. Oh,
oh
man.
My, come on.
They're never going to.
PG-13.
Yeah, we're going to go.
The name of this section, aren't you?
We're getting close to the unrated version. We're going to have to slap a big unrated hoo-ha. But anyway, here's the thing. We're going to do a new segment called Jerk of the Moment. And Jerk of the Moment is going to be people we can't stand that have totally pissed us off in one way or the other. And today, it's the idiot Dingleberry freak nut that was at the freaking CompUSA yesterday trying to help me find a DS. And this is how this went down, all right?
You should never rely on people in those stores to be helpful at
all. Dude, CompUSA, they're the most retarded human beings I've ever met in my life. Seriously, there are piles of rubble that perform better at their job.
Oh, I could see Scott walks in the store and he's like, where are the PC keyboards in this rock's like over there?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
You do know there's a high probability that maybe some of those people listen to this show.
I know. And I'm going to say there's a little disclaimer I want to give relatively up front here, and that is if you're an employee of that company or you work at that company, send me an email. We'll discuss it like men. All I'm saying is...
Oh, great. He knew the game of fisticuffs.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what it came down to. I walk into that place, and I can't find anybody. There's 20 of them, and they're all acting like they're doing stuff. But the minute a customer actually looks like they need something,
scatter like roaches.
Exactly. So finally, I see this kid stalking some shelf, and I walk over. Excuse me. Yeah. And I said, I'm looking for the DS Lite. Supposedly these came in like Sunday and they've been selling like crazy. Do you guys have any of these left?
Did he sound like the French fry guy from The Simpsons? He's like, they're over here, sir.
Gosh, Mr. Simpson. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. No, he said to me, I have no idea.
I love that piece of crap.
No, hold on. You're missing the big line. This is his words. He said to me,
okay,
I've got no idea.
Oh. You gotta appreciate a person that's honest.
No, hold on. He just stared at me.
Wait a minute. Scott, I have to ask you this before you go on. Did the man actually work there? Now, be honest.
Yes, he was in
it. Be honest, Scott. No, come on, be honest.
No. He was in a CompUSA. Unless they let customers come in CompUSA shirts and restock the video card shelves, then
maybe
yes.
Maybe they sell them.
Okay, the point is that he looked at me like Eeyore on freaking...
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, no,
that's like assuming that everybody that's wearing a Disney shirt over at Disneyland works at Disney.
No, what I'm saying is he looked at me with this dumb stare, like he was almost looking through me, like he could see what was behind me. And I just said, do you have any idea if they're coming in? No idea, man. I mean, that's all I got.
Leave me alone.
I wanted to kick him in the noodle, but I didn't do it. So anyway, it sucked. That was a terrible experience.
The thing is why do you expect... when I lived in Daytona, we got that kind of service from Best Buy. The worst was one night, me and two of my buddies, we go in there. He wants to buy a surround sound system for his computer. We go, we look at the shelf. There's the model he wanted. Wasn't there. They were sold out.
Yeah.
So we go over to a guy in the computer department and we're like, hey, do you have any of these speakers? The guy, all he did was walk over to the shelf where we just came from, looked at it and went, nope, and walked away. So it's like, well, I'm not – what's funny is you tell this story and I'm not remotely surprised.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible. And so all I'm saying is if anybody else has any commiseration they want to give me, feel free to give us feedback. But it just freaking sucked. It was a terrible experience, and maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I had been to 6 or 7 other stores, and even the ding-dongs at Walmart were more helpful.
Yeah, I walked in, and she didn't look like she's ever
played
a video game before.
Okay, you can't go into Walmart's anymore. You know,
let's see, we offended...
Oh, wait.
We offended Walmart employees?
Nope, they were great. Are you kidding me?
No, the Walmart people were good. That's the thing. Kim actually found one.
Yeah, but you just call them ding-dongs.
Well, hold on.
See what's
normally ding-dongs.
I can only assume that from now on, Kim has to go shop.
What's funny is the next time Kim walks into Walmart, they'll push a cart at her and go, ding-dong, huh? Like that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, here's the thing.
Ding dong now.
Here's the bottom line. Kim found one at a Walmart. To add insult to injury, after I've gone through this nightmare with this freaking cheese bucket at the Comp USA, who's working for, I don't know what the crap was going on. But anyway, Kim gets it, comes home with it. I turn it on. There's a dead pixel on the thing. So
yeah,
like,
you whined about that on your blog.
I know I did. So here's what I ended up having to do. I ended up having to buy a second DS at a place who I finally found had a good new shipment. Checked it at the store. No dead pixels. Works great. Awesome. I get home. But right now I currently own two DS Lights, and I got to take the other one back
to
Walmart.
Well, you know who doesn't own even one DS Lite?
You know what
you do, doesn't even own one.
No, hold on. Kim,
you take the other one back. You return it. You get another one where you have two DS Lights, and you send me one.
Oh, is that it? Now, hold on, Kim. You have to take it back. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah? Your voice is gone. You sound like a frog. You sound like a frog trapped in dirt.
You know, here in Colombia, we don't call our wives frogs.
I'm pretty sure across the board in any country you don't do that.
Well, in France they do. Let's not forget France. Yeah.
Oh, in France you
call them, hey, frog, come here. I need dinner. Ribbit, ribbit. Anyway, so the point is that they're the jerk of the week, okay? So officially, jerk of the moment, that goes to you, CompUSA.
Jerk of the moment.
Let's get back to the part where you were going to send me the DS that doesn't work.
Oh, I'm skipping that part.
Well, China Doll's going to get you one.
Well, no. You see, actually, what I'm very pleased to say is that since our very dear listener is going to send me a Nintendo Wii when it comes out, and China Doll, my girlfriend, is going to be buying a Nintendo DS Lite this month.
Yeah.
Me, Obsidian, the guy that used to bash on Nintendo all the time, is pretty soon going to have a Nintendo household.
Yeah, you may as well have Mario in your bed, dude. Seriously.
No. But I do have to say this, Scott.
I have to say this.
For all I've bashed Nintendo, I have always thought Mario was pretty cool. I've always been a huge Metroid fan. I love Metroid. And I've always thought Zelda was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So I'm glad you're coming out of the closet, dude. About time. Oh, man. All right.
We
have some phone calls, but before we get to them, Commissioned-a-thon is coming up, and we want to know more about it. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Obsidian, tell us what this commissioned-a-thon thing is so our listeners can get involved or know what's going to happen.
Okay, first of all, it's a lot of fun that you read my site because it's commissioned-a-thlon.
A flan?
Yeah.
He's making stuff up.
What the
no,
crap?
No, really, that's what it is. It's commissioned-a-thlon, not commissioned-a-thon because it just doesn't sound right. I don't know. The other way it doesn't sound right either. But
is it commissioned-a-thong? Is that like paying for someone to make you a thong? Is that what this is?
Thong.
You're going to knit thongs out of like jungle weed, or what are you doing?
jungle weed.
actually, that can be quite sexy.
It's pretty lucrative,
thong.
Too.
Not very comfortable.
No, but it's very lucrative.
Okay.
Not very
but anyway, the commission of Thlon has already been done before.
Okay.
It is basically, because of my lack of organization and probably taking on more work than I can handle.
Welcome to my world.
There comes
a time,
like every now and then, when I'm very caught up on my fantasy art commission work. And that happens right now.
Okay.
So I gotta turn in a bunch, and I mean a huge amount, of fantasy art in a very little amount of time, so I just decided, you know, let's make it a little bit more fun.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is that come next Monday the 19th, I'm going to focus a webcam on my drawing board, and it's going to be live. It's going to transmit live on my website for the 3 weeks that I'm going to be drawing. And basically, I'm only going to stop to sleep, eat,
poop,
go to the bathroom, and go get some exercise, because it would be healthy for me to, hunch over my drawing board for 3 weeks straight. So I'll probably get an hour or two of exercise every day, eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. And other than that, I'm going to be on my drawing board for 3 weeks, and it's going to be transmitting live on a webcam. So people get to see how I draw my fantasy art. They probably get to see how I draw my webcomic. And that's all going to be on my website, you know, commissionedcom.com. The whole live webcam is going to be on my website. And there's also going to be a chat box right underneath it. So, like, if you want to, you know, send any comments or just chat with people. Actually, the people that are commissioning this work, which is an independent role-playing game company from Boston called Genjitsu Games.
Yeah. Don't spell
that. You
can
check it out at genjitsugames.com.
Okay.
They're actually going to be on the chat box every now and then. And, I mean, even he's going to be answering questions about, you know, well, about that specific piece of art that I'm working on and everything.
Oh, that's now, cool.
Here's the final catch. I'm probably going to be working on those pieces of fantasy art for 2 weeks. At the end of those 2 weeks, the final week, the third week, I'm going to be taking commissions from anybody. I mean, from the people that are watching, from anybody that wants to commission an art piece. I'm going to be drawing commissions live, taking them right from the people that are watching. The prices are going to be real low, too. I'm going to be it's going to only be like black and white art, you know, pencil art, but I'm going to be doing fantasy art pieces for as low as $20.
That's cheap.
That's cheap.
It is a good price, actually.
And yeah. What's going to happen is that the very final day,
yeah.
Towards the final day, there's going to be an auction for a complete color fantasy art image.
And any calluses that he can cut off his fingers.
Ew, dude, that's lot, nasty.
And my sanity.
People grind but that yeah, up and snort it or something.
towards that final day, there's going to be an auction for a full-color fantasy art piece that the winning bidder will commission, and I'm going to do that live on the final day as well. And then I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
All right. Well, that was the
which
longest.
Which will also be televised.
That was the longest damn thing we ever talked about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm pretty excited about it, actually. I think it's going to be very,
that's
very
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
So
that's
let's
really
keep
cool.
our eyes on that. And while we're thinking about it, let's play this call about no more MMORPGs.
Hey, crap line. It's B. Densley just calling in from West Jordan, Utah. I haven't talked to you guys for a while. And I just want to say you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. And I'm certainly going to keep listening. Since I talked last, Dark Age is no longer in my life. And pretty much I can't play Counter-Strike entirely. So much for those mass multiplayer online roleplay games that we've been playing for a decade. But time to move on. Get better, fatter, cooler, sweeter things out there. And talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, so Brian informs us that he has given up on MMORPGs and is now focusing solely on Counter-Strike because... MOGs are so old, so yesterday, so 10 years ago. Dude, Counter-Strike is like so 15 years ago, is all I got to say to that. Right?
Well, it's funny, though, that he should comment that because it pretty much goes with today's subject.
It kind of does, actually.
Battlefield 2 is like the big one everyone plays now, right?
Yeah, that's all the rage. You guys playing that at all? Andrew, you play that at all?
I
played
kind of that up at the comic book store, and what was funny is I'm normally in first-person shooters, multiplay. I like playing a sniper.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the type of sniper that just sits in one spot and never moves. I move around and I strategically pick people off.
You're more of a
you're
Tom.
Not much but, of a sniper.
Yeah,
sniper
you're more of the.
Thinking, they.
You're more of the Tom Berenger type of sniper. You like
yeah,
to.
But the thing is a couple of the guys at the comic book store like you got to try it out, and I was like, I don't know. I don't normally go for the. You know, the modern warfare type of shooters and stuff like that. But I rather enjoyed the game. I never realized how realistic that game is. I mean, the detail on the water, on the grass,
the
weapons
leg, right?
And stuff like that. It's very detailed.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when you climb up a crane, pick off a guy, and then fall, and before you can pull your chute, you slam into the asphalt.
We sound like a bunch of non-nerds as if this game's brand new and we've never heard of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously
but,
a
I
big
mean,
deal.
Well, the thing is with first-person shooters, normally I go for the stuff like System Shock and Half-Life 2 and Sin and stuff like that. I don't play, like, I played the demo for, like, Battlefield.
Yeah.
And I played the demo for Call of Duty, and I was visually, I was impressed with their graphics.
Mm-hmm.
But overall... I don't care. I normally don't care for first-person shooters like that.
Yeah. Well, that leads into our big topic as well, so keep that in mind as we get there. We did get a correction from someone about how you make the Transformers noise. He's not real happy with the way I do it, so here's his version. Check it out.
Hello, Extra Life crew. I haven't called this one before, and I'm not even on the forums, but who cares? I've been listening to the shows for, like, forever. Who cares? Anyways, Scott... Your Transformers transforming sound is really bad. It needs some improvement. Let me give you a sample of a better one, but it's not the real thing. See, that sounds better than what your little ring stuff you got going on.
Okay. Everyone agrees that he actually does it better. I think it sounds like Ernie choking on one of Bert's eyebrows. Of course, he only had one eyebrow.
Scott's is funnier, though.
Yeah, yeah. Scott. So. Scott sounds a lot more stupid when he does it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on a minute.
It is true. It is true. He does do it better, Scott.
All right, Kim, since you're
Scott's
here today.
Actually imitating some cheap Taiwanese knockoff. That's what he's
doing. Oh, you call it knockoff. I kick your butt. Okay, Kim, I want you to.
What are you doing, eh?
What you doing, eh?
Wait a minute. What are you asking your wife?
I'm asking her to do the Transformer sound. I'm putting her on the spot.
Oh, gosh. I can't do anything today.
Can't you do it?
Somebody's gonna sleep on the sofa.
Oh, did you hear that? She did it. You'll hear it in the final show. That was pretty good. All right. Well, fair enough, Mr. Transformer Sound Complainer.
He did a good job.
Yeah. We're gonna talk
is
about
that fair. We're gonna your wife do
we,
that.
We got a great call about eating and pooping. I just had to play this. Check it out.
Hey, Scott and Extra Life crew. This is Mike in Salt Lake City. I just wanted to share a little story with you guys. The other night, I was out to dinner with some friends, and we had our kids with us, and my friend's kid informed us of this interesting little fact. Just completely out of the blue, just we're sitting there getting ready to eat our meal, he informs us that jellyfish eat and poop out of the same hole in their body. So there you go. Enjoy.
All right. Yeah, enjoy indeed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yummy.
That's totally nasty, but I can hear our kids telling us that at dinner.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though? Here's a perfect quote. Jellyfish is in the water. He's with his friends, and he's like, is it me or does this taste like crap?
Oh, man. That was nasty.
We Scott will tell our kids.
I want to teach our kids that one day you, too, can eat and poop out of the same hole. Actually, hopefully that's not true.
Can become jellyfish anytime.
That's Scott's mutant power.
Indeed.
He turns into a jellyfish like the dude in the first X-Men movie.
I love that. That was cool. All right, here is a Transformers update to go along with our sound, but this is an actual update about the movie. Some interesting tidbits here. Check it out.
Hey, guys, from Extra Life. This is another quick update on Transformers. I've just been seeing pictures of Bumblebee with racing stripes, and Starscream is going to be a cop car. All right, guys, keep up the good work. Again, love the show. I'll keep listening. You keep putting it out there. Have a good one.
Okay, Godfrey? Is our car called Godfrey, or am I hearing him wrong?
It must be a new one.
Godfrey? No, the way he said it...
What kind of a lame name for a Transformer
is
Godfrey?
It may not be right. I'm just not hearing him right. Maybe people are going to be...
He's the butler.
It's a butler, dude. No, people are probably like rolling their eyes going, I can't believe they didn't hear him. We know exactly who it is. Well, I'm not exactly sure, but whoever it is going to be a cop car. So,
but
I don't know.
Godfrey?
Godfrey or
what a goofy name for a Transformer.
Yeah, they're going to be like the Transformers all battling, and they're going to be, oh, look, there comes Hamilton. Wait, Edgar comes to save the day.
Oh, we're not going to be able to hold off this laser attack until Bartholomew gets here.
Yeah, Godfrey, we've got a problem with Philip's left rear tire. Can you see? We can probably blah, blah, blah. That'd be very funny.
Oh, please. Hold Philip still while you use this spanner.
And Guinevere will be her suit.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys remember a game for the 3DO? It was put out by Electronic Arts, and I actually think the PS1 also got it. It was based on the Warhammer world, kind of the Warhammer universe, and it was...
Space Hulk.
In that game...
That was on the PC, actually, before any of those.
I don't remember it on the PC.
I never played it.
It was on the 3DO before the PC version came out.
Yeah,
and I had
right.
it on... I had both
I can't
versions.
Compete against Andrew.
Hold on. The point about Space Hulk was this. What I loved about it was everybody would walk around that game going, Ezekiel, you need to take the front thing. No, freaking Dimmeroth or whatever your name is. And they all had like biblical names.
Yeah, everyone had like biblical and like Victorian sounding names.
Yeah, and they were always, the Lord is with us, and I'm in my giant rusty mech suit. I mean, it was a great universe, by the way. And I know I don't know a lot about Warhammer, but I really liked that, and I liked the feel of it.
I didn't even know it was based off Warhammer, but it was a pretty cool game for the time.
Am I wrong about that, Andrew? It was based on Warhammer.
No, it's set in the Warhammer universe.
Okay, just making sure, because that was kind of my first taste of that, and I've never really
gotten
into it.
From what a lot of the story is, and really when you look at it, StarCraft is a blatant ripoff.
That's true.
Ooh, you just touched delicate ground with Scott. He's going to get nasty.
The Zerg are actually a ripoff of the Gene Stealers. That's the creatures.
Yeah.
From the Warhammer universe.
I could kind of see that. The thing is, Blizzard is is so good at taking existing ideas and refining it into a really awesome experience that, you know, I'm fine with it. They do that all the time. I mean, Warcraft is it's basically a Tolkien book on steroids. So, you know, I'm fine with it. Let's see. Oh, we're at our we're at my favorite segment. I don't know if it's everyone else's, but we got a question. We got a question from
the bathroom, Scott.
We got a question from the other guy. And before we do that, we got to do this.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
Okay, thank you. The dulcet tones of Scott Fletcher. We got a question from Mark before we talk about the two graphic items that are very short because we still want to get to our big main topic. But Mark asked this question.
Hey guys, this is Mark. I wanted to call in and ask you guys a question. Actually, specifically a question for Scott. You say that you don't like the term, how are the graphics? What would you like everybody to say instead? Are you wanting them to say, how are the special effects? How is the CGI? What is your alternative to somebody saying, how are the graphics? Bye.
Okay, I think Mark's got it confused. It's not that they're asking how are the graphics if they really knew what they were talking about. The problem is they're applying this term to something they don't know how to explain. It's like, it's hard to explain. It's probably, special effects are probably the word people should use. Like, oh, that had really good special effects. But instead, they just kind of lump it all together and go, you know, I just wasn't real happy with the graphics.
He still does the voice every time.
I know. I know. It's kind of Dean Cain for the new millennium. But anyway, the point is that, I think...
Dean Cain for the new millennium? Dean Cain is in the future!
I know. But anyway, that's kind of my thing. The two things I wanted to mention very briefly on How Are the Graphics segment are these. This is a short segment. We saw Cars with the kids, didn't we, dear?
Yes, we did.
And we saw it
me
on...
Me too! Went, oh, you mean the movie.
The movie, dude. Yeah.
I was bragging.
I drove my car today.
Oh, you know what would be a really mean joke?
What's
tell
that?
Your kids you're going to take them to go see Cars.
And then just take them to the dealership.
And take them to, like, an intersection.
Just drive down the freeway.
You can just abandon them downtown. Like, yeah. Okay, see Cars for a while, I'll be back in a while.
Yep, see how many bumblebees you can... Or how many bugs you can count.
I'm not falling for that again. We did that for Bug's Life. No way,
Dad. Oh, that's nice. Very nice, Brian. Brian always comes up with the zingers, dude. Wait, he's sitting over there. Sitting over there drawing his cartoon or something, and then he'll pull a zinger out of his hat. I love it.
Oh, here's another good one. Next week, I'm going to take you to that store so you can see some Toy Story.
Yeah, I knew that. I saw that coming. You just dump them off at a Toys R Us and say good luck and leave. Go have dinner. Well, anyway, the point is that it was really good, and I loved it. And let me just say this quickly about Pixar. I liked it as much as I like any of their movies, and they just have the secret sauce, dude. I don't know what it is, but they totally nail it. There was a part in this show where I am not embarrassed to admit I almost cried, and it was talking cars, for heaven's sakes. I mean, well, they're good, man. These guys are just good.
I spoke to Brian earlier today because next week we're taking my stepdaughter to go see Over the Hedge.
Yeah, which I liked also.
I want to see that movie.
And Brian said that movie is really good.
Yeah, he liked it better than Cars.
Yeah. But I like Cars, but I liked Over the Hedge better.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like Over the Hedge is an extension of things, I almost said Blizzard, things that Pixar has already done, kind of Toy Story sort of stuff. And so it seems like it's just a good... recreation of
who
some of the
Over
things
the
they
Hedge,
pioneered. DreamWorks.
DreamWorks. The same people that did Madagascar.
Yeah, and Shrek and all that. It's the PDI people that work for DreamWorks.
Well, I really want to watch it. I have to admit, I saw Madagascar. I thought it looked pretty, but I didn't think much of it.
No, that movie sucked.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's because a lot of the creatures in Madagascar you see outside your front door.
Yeah. This is so unrealistic.
That's they don't talk. They don't sound like Chris Rock. What's going on here? No, that movie blew.
Actually,
dude.
They didn't sound like Chris Rock anyway. Because here, you see, the bad thing about not living in the U.S. and living in some place like Colombia is that.
You get shot
all
at all
the movies
time.
That they would consider to be children's movies, you only get them dubbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you don't get an English version of any of those animations. I normally never watch those animations at the movies. I just wait for them to be in rental when I can get the DVD and actually tell it to be in a certain language.
Well, let me tell you what I think is the big deal with Pixar movies, and this is just my general rant. I think Pixar succeeds because John Lasseter and people over there working there have this ability to tap into primal childhood sort of raw joy. Like the stuff that we just love about toys and about animals and about bugs and about stuff that just brings out this crazy...
About cars.
This crazy imagination that everybody has. And it just... You walk out of there and it just feels right. They have heart. They have soul. It's just different. I just think they do it differently. Now, Over the Hedge is probably as close as DreamWorks
Scott
has ever gotten.
Scott just said that Pixar's magic sauce feels right.
You almost said Pixar.
That's awesome.
I'm making fun of you because you said Pixar. You know, them Pixar movies are pretty good.
You do know I do not live in an English-speaking country, so I can get away with this kind of stuff.
That's right.
You sound like Larry the Cable Guy in Cars saying Pixar. He was great in that, by the way. Very funny.
I thought, I like Cars, but I thought it was a little bit, I don't know, just it kind of drug on at some points. And I just didn't get that feeling when I went to go see Over the Hedge. I felt like I was watching and I was just having fun the whole time. I feel like I kind of stopped a couple of times in Cars and went,
You are a cold, dead soul.
No, I mean, there was some parts that were really, really sincere and sweet.
Scott.
Yeah, but the action was great. The racing was insane.
I guess, have you ever seen, you've seen the old Warner Brothers, is it Warner Brothers? The old cartoon with the car? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Herbie, and he's like a little baby. No, he's like a kid, and he wants to get a new body with a hot rod body.
Oh, I remember
that.
Yeah.
Little engine that could.
It's old. Yeah. It's old as heck. Yeah, it's like early Warner Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I kind of think I was.
Yeah. You thought what?
I kind of felt like it was already done at that point.
Oh.
So I finally. But you know what do I know?
Yeah, but they didn't have the graphics. Okay, let's move on to an Ask Columbia question. Check it out,
ladies and gentlemen. It's time to Ask the Columbian.
All right.
Ooh, that's you.
And this is about Cedar.
Wait, that's me, yeah.
This is about a place in Ohio called Cedar Point. This guy wants to know if you or Columbia has anything to do with this place, because apparently it's full of Columbians. So check it out.
Hi, this is Brian or Traveler18 on the forums, and I have a question for O. I was at this theme park the other day in Ohio called Cedar Point. I noticed there were a lot of Columbians working there. I was just wondering if Cedar Point is famous in Columbia or something. Okay,
it's all past your bedtime, so go to bed. And then the second thing is...
make sure you brush.
Yeah, make sure you brush your teeth. But the thing is that Cedar Point... I mean, so you go to Cedar Point, how do you know these people are Colombians? Like, what is it?
Columbia.
Yeah, what do you do?
First of all, thank you for your question, Pat. Now...
that's funny. Or Chris.
Okay.
Speaking
now,
of androgynous male,
you know, okay, now you guys are gonna laugh your asses off at this, okay?
Okay.
I have been to Cedar Point.
That's funny.
I actually have. You see, my sister, she lives in Ohio. I once went to visit her, and we went to Cedar Point.
No way, dude.
Here's the first thing. Okay, now why would we not go to Cedar Point? Cedar Point is awesome. It's a theme park with only roller coasters in it. And it's got several world record roller coasters. You know, it's got a bunch of stuff there. It's a great place to be. It's as far as theme parks go, it's not too expensive. And the other reason is, in Colombia, we don't have much in terms of a roller coaster. It's actually pretty funny. The time I went to Cedar Point, I was, you know, just walking around. I was riding all the roller coasters, having a blast. And all of a sudden, I see a kid's roller coaster called the Bobcat. And the only roller coaster that is to be found here in Medellin, where I live,
is exactly that
one.
The Bobcat?
The Bobcat, which is a roller coaster for kids in Cedar Point.
I can see Obsidian riding now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got a roller coaster like the Millennium, which at its highest point is higher than the Statue of Liberty. It goes down to like 85, it has an 85 degrees drop, actually. 85-degree angle drop.
Okay.
Goes, like, up to 96 miles per hour.
Okay.
Who wouldn't want to go there? I mean, who wouldn't want to ride on these things? And it's
like driving
on
the streets of LA.
Yeah, but no, that doesn't answer the question, though. Why is it so full of Colombians? How come there's so many Colombians there? A big exodus?
They got the brochures down in Colombia.
Well, I dare say...
they've got the Bobcat. Let's go.
Okay, I dare say this. Now, I honestly doubt that Pat went up to each one of the Latin American people that he saw and asked them if they were Colombians.
And they all said, "Sí."
And it is true that the biggest minority in the U.S. is officially Latin Americans.
Yeah, it's true.
So I wouldn't be very surprised that any theme park in the U.S. is filled with Latin Americans. So please don't assume that every single Latin American that you see is Colombian.
Yeah, that's kind of mean. I mean, like Universal Studios over here in Orlando is completely filled with Hindu people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like every. I mean, you got a whole bunch of people. You got like Mexicans. You got Colombians. You got people from Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia. I can just go for hours. There's a bunch of Latin American countries. I mean,
yeah,
they can be from anywhere.
That's what I say.
Unless you actually went and asked everybody if they were Colombia, in which case, if you did, I dare you to call again and tell us that you actually asked everybody if they were Colombian.
Indeed.
And that they said yes.
Very nice. All right, with that, we are going to take a break. When we come back, our big topic of the week, which is going to have to be a little shorter than usual because we only have about 15, 20 minutes. However, we're excited to talk about it, so come right back, won't you?
Are you having trouble figuring out whether you should get an LCD or a plasma TV? Maybe you want some advice on building your home theater.
Perhaps you need some help keeping your computer healthy or are looking for a new camera for your next vacation.
Well, if that complicated world of consumer technology has you down, then check out our podcast, Coolness Roundup. Each week, Stephen Schleicher and I talk about the best and worst gadgets and devices we've seen during the week.
From Athlons to Xeons, from iPods to iMacs, Charlie White and I separate the coolness from the lukewarm just for you every week. We answer listener email, dive deep into a topic of the week, and often have spirited discussions on technologies that are changing our world.
That's right, Stephen, and we should probably mention that we also give away free prizes each week.
You can subscribe to the Coolness Roundup via iTunes, Podcast Alley, or your favorite aggregator.
Or visit us on the web at coolnessroundup.com.
Coolness Roundup, the tech show for everyone. R in a circle.
And we're back. Thanks for coming back. Oh, there goes our headphones. You guys there?
Yes.
Yeah.
My headphones are giving out. Ah, that's better. You can hear it? Can you
much
hear
much better. Much okay. better. Thank you.
All right. All right. Let's nice. Jump to the big fat topic. Now, Obsidian actually emailed me about this earlier in the week, or just yesterday. Let's call that early in the week. And
technically, it is earlier in the week.
That's true. This is actually a really cool thing. So let's talk about it real quick. Now, before we do, I just wanted to play a tiny little clip that I got from Len at Jawbone. Actually, I didn't get it from Len, but from Len. He's
hitting you, Scott.
Is he hitting you again?
His last
I told
show
her about that.
His last show, he found a whole bunch of sort of self-help audio bits from an old vinyl record in the 80s about how to play video games.
Oh my god.
And it covered things like Tempest and Miss Pac-Man, Dig Dug, Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, whatever. And is there any better place than here to talk about
Pac-Man
this crap?
Twice.
Listen how they listen how this guy describes Donkey Kong just briefly, and then we'll get on with our topic. Check this out.
Donkey Kong. In the game Donkey Kong, there are different levels and four different screens. At the first level, two screens are used. At the second level, three screens are used. Four screens are used at the next level. If you get past this level, each successive level adds one more screen. However, the original four
exactly.
types
They're
of
not,
screens...
Exactly. It just makes it sound terrible. The worst one is this Ms. Pac-Man one. Check it out.
Ms. Pac-Man. This game is the same as Pac-Man, except that the patterns of the mazes on which you play are different. Another difference is the fruit which appears.
This is just like Miss Pac, just like Pac-Man, except
it's a chick.
Except
you know what's funny is the poor guy, the guy who's reading this. In his mind, he's probably thinking, he's like, I did Shakespeare in college,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Actually, I think he's supposed
like
to be
a fishing show or something.
He actually sounds like one of those 80s sex ed videos that they were showing. Yeah.
He's supposed to be kind of
they were
the...
talking about sex, but they made it sound as boring as possible.
he's supposed to be some video game expert from then.
Penis
the he's got, oh, my gosh. No, he's like the... He's
there
like
goes the PG rating.
Yeah, there goes PG. We're now up to PG MA-17.
What?
I'm just teasing.
Wait a minute. China's not a dirty word.
We're up to the daily news, basically.
Yeah,
this is true.
I mean,
this is true. But no.
But yeah, he sounds like. It, I mean,
he was the fatality of his time, dude. That's what everybody.
Just
keeps
listening
saying.
To that would make me not even want to play the damn game. You know, it's just
Pac-Man.
He's just like.
You go around
he's
and you
like,
eat
okay,
dots.
When you're playing Gorf, the aliens fly down and shoot at you.
He also does Tempest and Dig Dug are pretty good ones as well.
Tempest, oh my god, yeah. I can't. Tempest is such a fast-paced game.
I wonder how he would have described Mario.
Yeah, he does. Well, he talks about Donkey Kong.
In Mario, you play as an Italian plumber.
All right, well, let's get to our fat topic. Obsidian, kind of break it down for us. The point of this whole thing is, in short, the short of it is RPGs today, role-playing games,
video... Did you just tell me to break it down?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead and break it down.
No. I mean, go ahead. You were doing fine.
No, I was bad.
Like, Obsidian, break it down for us, and you just go on.
All right, so it's like saying, so Brian, tell us your name, and your name is Penis. Now I'm doing it. Okay.
Did you just say Brian's name was Penis?
By the way, make sure you guys hang around for the end of the show, because the Sebastian mashup this week is priceless, and is the as are a few extra phone calls we're playing at the end of the show, because we don't have time to do them here. Okay, so Obsidian.
Take it away.
Tell us the thing. Take it away, as Kim says. In the famous words of
Kim. It's pretty simple.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Now, I was thinking that maybe in the direction that video game role-playing games are going, they're getting to be pretty open-ended, right?
Yes, like
Oblivion game we've been playing, right?
Yes.
Now, my question is, perhaps because of the increasing open-endedness... Is that right?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
You're always questioning your English.
Because of the increasing open-endedness of these games, I feel that maybe they're losing their grip, or maybe just making weaker stories. I like to put the example of Oblivion, because like I told you guys before, I was playing Oblivion, and I was riding past an Oblivion gate. I looked at it, and I just didn't give a crap. I just passed by it. I just rode through. I didn't care. You know, the sky turns red. An Oblivion game, you see?
I don't play Oblivion. So
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah, great of you to say
so. Oh, so you're the only one on the planet not playing that
game.
That
game's awesome. I love it. I'm absolutely hooked on it.
So a quick story of Oblivion. Oblivion is about a kingdom that... Oh, yeah, let's sound like this guy from the 80s thing.
You know what?
Oblivion is a game about a kingdom.
You walk around, you have a sword.
By gates to hell, which is basically... I mean, Oblivion is like the game's version of hell.
Yeah.
So the kingdom is getting invaded by gates to hell that are appearing because the emperor died and nobody has been able to light these sort of dragon fires that are supposed to keep Oblivion at bay.
So it's doom.
Now, you are basically the kingdom's only hope to stop Oblivion. And my point is that the game is so open-ended that you end up not giving a crap about if the kingdom is getting infested with Oblivion gates and demons. You just don't give a crap.
I will disagree because I actually give a crap. It's just that I get distracted. It's like, oh, I'm on my way to that castle to get the next big mainline quest.
Oh, look, a penny.
But no, it is kind of like that. It's like, oh, here's some mushrooms I can harvest, or here's a cave
I mean, of course. I mean, of course, I want to stop Oblivion too. I want to be a hero. But my point is that I feel that the story...
I was just waiting for it.
Yeah, but my point is that other role-playing games from the past that perhaps have a much more linear story at least made you feel a lot more... I mean, you felt a lot more strongly about what was happening. Like, I'm sorry to use Final Fantasy as an example because everybody knows I'm a big Final Fantasy fan. But for all those of you who played Final Fantasy VIII, did any of you guys play it, Final Fantasy VIII?
No.
Nope. No. Oh,
okay. Okay, well, did you play
no.
Chrono Trigger?
Oh, yes. Snap. Oh,
I
snap.
Did.
Okay. Remember Chrono Trigger? I used to hate Magus. Remember Magus from Chrono Trigger, the evil wizard that was...
No,
always...
but I do know that if I don't put the lid on the garbage can, I get Magus all over.
Okay, I'll just go back to Final Fantasy VIII since you guys got lost anyway.
All right.
All of you listeners that played Final Fantasy VIII, when I did, I hated Cypher, one of the bad guys from Final Fantasy VIII. I hated the guy. I mean,
he was pretty good in Matrix. I mean, oh, sorry.
Kim's asleep. Keep going.
I mean, I every single time I would see this guy in the game, I would go like, "Oh, damn you, Cypher!" And that's the thing. I mean, you would hate the villain.
Well, I
wanted to save the world, and you really cared about the characters. And my feeling is that that isn't happening so strongly in Oblivion.
See, I do agree in a lot. The way a lot of the RPGs now are making it, they're going the whole, you know, what became popular with Grand Theft Auto, the whole open-ended theme. Is they can have they can create a very small story and stretch it out over the top of the sandbox. whereas playing a game like Planescape or Baldur's Gate had a very thick, rich story, but it was much more linear. So they had to keep, you know, it wasn't like, okay, you know, this from this town to this town, these two towns are part of the main story. But what you do to get to those towns is up to you, so we can kind of flake off and, you know, just throw stuff in there in between these two story parts.
Yeah. Well, what? I mean, so Obsidian, let me ask you this. Or Brian, let me ask you this. Now, earlier you made a comment to me that you thought stories are lame. Like, in other words, you just want to go shoot things and kill things.
That's me.
Yeah. So why is that?
I don't know. You just told my whole story,
that's,
so why should
you? That's right in South Carolina for you.
Oh, that's South Carolina for you.
So
No, really, I don't get into the whole story thing. It just bores me. I'm like, let's move on. That's the reason why I have a lot of trouble with all these Japanese games, because they come in and they've got 30 minutes worth of, you know, push the A button to go to the next part of the story, and I'm like, let's get on with it.
Yeah,
I'm an American. I have short attention span. Let's do this thing. I want to play.
Great, dude. So, way to perpetuate really the stereotype. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really care less.
I know one guy that didn't have the patience to play Metal Gear.
Yeah, really? That's funny. This is too much.
I'm talking about you, Brian.
Oh, yeah, it's probably me. Yeah, it was probably me. Yeah, I don't like that. Don't give me no story. I want to shoot something.
Well,
so you're a big fan of Grand Theft Auto then? Because
yeah, there you go. No storyline. I don't need it. If I want a story, I'll go read a book.
All right. Well, no, that's a fair point. But for those who like story, the point is, Obsidian, do you think they're getting shafted? Are these games not addressing what they want?
Yeah, that's my point, because Oblivion is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love playing Oblivion. I am uploading the webcomic like at 4 a.m. because I'm wasting my whole day playing Oblivion.
It's a great game. There's no question. I love that.
Yeah,
game.
But the thing is, I mean, the story is pretty good. Yeah, that's true. But I don't feel strongly about any part of the game, as in terms of, you know, that I maybe feel like a big part of it. Like, you know, like right now I'm part of the Fighters Guild, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's just something I'm doing. I mean, it's fun. I'm doing it. It's cool and everything. But I don't feel strongly about anybody in the Fighters Guild. None of the characters in the Fighters Guild have like an opinion about them. You know, occasionally I run into one guy that's annoying. Occasionally I run into somebody that's like one guy in the Fighters Guild, he was very aggressive.
Yeah.
He calls me something like meat.
Yeah.
And another person in the Fighters Guild is
which
very
you take
nice.
Offense to because you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, another person in the Fighters Guild is very nice, but that's as far as it goes. I mean, I'm not like, you know, ooh, I'm part of the Fighters Guild. I'm so proud. No, I mean, I don't care.
All right,
I don't care. I don't give a crap.
I will say this: I'm into the main storyline. I think it's a pretty good one. I get distracted from it all of the time, but I am interested in doing it. Right now, I'm stuck because I can't figure out how to read these books. It says I'll need to read these books some more before I can continue. Well, I've read them. What else am I supposed to do? So in the meantime, I'm like, ooh, look, a cave. Ooh, look, stuff to kill in the cave.
Ooh, so great.
Uber loot.
So basically, Oblivion is perfect for people with ADD.
Yeah, that may be actually the case.
That might be the case.
My best example is, like, the Emperor, I took him a book, like this dark magic book. And he gets the book and he's like, ooh, this book is horrible. I'm going to have to keep it. I'm like, okay, Emperor, go ahead and keep it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to decipher it. So while I decipher it, why don't you go do this and this and that? And in the game, it's been like 6 months. The guy's been reading the book for 6 months.
Maybe
and
he's.
I honestly don't give a crap. I mean,
maybe he's slow.
He can read that book for eternity, for all I care.
But I want to know.
I'm going to go see him when I feel like
it. I want to help Boromir, Sean Bean. I want to help him out. I do want to find out what happened to Picard. So I'm interested in all that stuff. But I haven't even heard from Wonder Woman yet.
What do you mean
she's
you
want to
know what happened with Picard? He died.
Number one.
Like 5 minutes into the game, he dies.
Yeah, but maybe he's not really dead.
You ever notice?
You saw him die. He was right there.
Maybe he's not really dead.
I actually
maybe
contributed
they
a little bit.
Teleported him back to the Enterprise.
I helped. I think I stabbed him by accident.
I was even gonna sack his corpse for a loot.
because
the guard standing next to him wouldn't let me.
I can see Obsidian's character standing next to the king, and he's like, "What is that?" When the guard turns around, he's like ruffling through his clothes.
Okay, I gotta tell you guys,
I actually tried it, and the guard didn't let me.
Now, let me tell you this is about the funniest thing that's ever happened to that game, because we have to close this up. But this is so funny. I'm in a dungeon and I'm fighting human characters and there's like 10 of them on me. It was like way out of control. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Totally wasted me. They hit me for the last time. I hit the ground. The camera kind of falls to the ground as if I'm dying. And I look up and the two people that were just beating on me suddenly stopped, turned to each other and said, "Hello." And the other guy says, "How are you?" And the other guy goes, "Yes, what do you think about all this business with such and such and so and so?" They just had this little AI conversation as if they didn't know each other was there. And I sat and watched it still dead. And then at the end, they're like, "Oh, farewell. Have a good day." And yeah, they took off. It was about the awesomest thing ever.
In that game, I tried to I like to try stuff out and then just reload.
Yeah.
And in one part, I went into a house. A guy was there with his wife. I killed the guy, and then I went in and had a nice conversation with his wife. And then through speechcraft that you can make people like you, I maxed her disposition, and she was all nice to me.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
I had just killed her husband. She saw me do it. Thank you.
Obsidian, you have that power on all of us. And with that, I have to end this frickin' show. Thanks for being here, honey.
Thanks, no problem.
It was kind of boring for you.
Yeah, that's all right.
You're just kind of sitting over here?
I'm good.
All right. Well, I enjoyed your company.
Thanks.
It made me feel warm and fuzzy inside. But thank you, everybody, for being here for this Extra Life Radio program. And we'll look forward to seeing you on show number 4. If you'd like to be part of the program, you can send us your phone calls to the hotline. Oh, that's really called the crap line. That number is 206-203-CRAP, C-R-A-P. You can also email us, myextralife@gmail.com. And as always, you can learn everything you need to know about this show at myextralife.com and click on the podcast link. And also check out the comic that's there 3 days a week, because that's good times. And it takes a lot of work, so come on, people. Throw me a bone here. We got a whole bunch of calls to play at the end of the show here, so listen for those. Also a great mashup, a very funny mashup from Sebastian, and a few other things. So stay tuned, won't you? And we'll see you next week for show number 94.
See ya.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Dude, you know that's going to be in the mashup next week.
Engage is a joke on planets not even near us. Man's civilization is cast into ruin.
You damn dirty apes, I'll tell you. You'll pry it from my dead hands, Bill Clinton.
Okay, so what? Do we give Brian a deep mission to keep the meat on?
Wrong flock of seals. A big deaf Lou Ferrigno with a freaking green paint job.
Samuel Jackson, snakes, a plane, a film classic is born.
In English, it's clitoris.
Oh.
In Spanish, it's clitoris.
You know what, Obsidian, you need to be beaten.
So you're saying it needs to be a disappointment.
Rubbers have improved over the years.
Yes. It'll all make sense when you get there, I promise.
Today on Extra Life, Scott loses geek cred.
So again. My phone play all kind of lame games.
You know what? Why don't you just come over to my house? I'll lay down and you can whiz on me.
Hey, Scott, it's Dustin Overcash again. I know this is kind of a well-worn subject, but it's something that you guys might want to talk about, and I have a slightly different perspective on it. Anyway, the whole thing about kids not really wanting to read anymore and instead they're just playing video games. Well, I was one of those kids. I never really read, but I did play a lot of RPGs, which were really heavy in, you know, text, and there was a lot of reading, and I really think that kind of got me interested in literature.
Hey guys, it's Shifty here, and I was listening to your last episode, great episode by the way, and you mentioned a newspaper article essentially equating the four of you with 1,000 monkeys. That is an average of 250 monkeys apiece. I was wondering, is that equally distributed, or is O worth more monkeys than the rest? Later.
Hello, Crapline. It's Vidae from North Carolina, calling twice in 1 week. Unbelievable. But I just finished listening to your show number 83, and you were talking about Knight Rider and the Knight Industries 2000 and the Knight automated roving robot. Here's my question about Knight Rider. You may very well bring this up on a future episode that I haven't listened to yet, but in the beginning of the pilot episode, there's a car crash, and they pull a body from the car and get a plastic surgery that becomes Michael Knight. And he's got a new identity, and he fights crime and all that good stuff. But then when his evil twin shows up, it still looks exactly like him. Why is that? Because, you know, they had all the plastic surgery to look, you know, like someone with a new identity. Anyway, that's my Knight Rider question. Enjoy. Thank you, and good night.
Hello, is this Crapline? Yes, Crapline. Last message I left wasn't on the air. You didn't play it. Maybe you play it next time. I don't know. crappity crap crap. So, Mr. Scott, Mr. Stocks with your sandals, you don't live in Oregon? What are you doing strutting around with socks and sandals in Utah? Good day.
Hi, Scott and gang. Still working on ancient history. This is Ice Snake. I'm listening to show 79 talking about superpowers. And I know, like I said, it's ancient history, but if I could pick three, I'd have invulnerability, so I could never be injured. Super strength, so I could pretty much do whatever I wanted. And super empathy, so I could tell whatever the bad guy was feeling at any given moment. So there'd be a good chance I could talk him out of doing bad things instead of having to beat the snot out of him. Of course, there's always the fallback to beat the snot out of him if you have to. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, this isn't so much a question as much as a funny little idea for Obsidian's commission. I've started reading the archive, and it's pretty good. You mentioned last week, or this week, on the show that China Doll is going to have a new hairstyle every time we see her. And the funny thing was, I have a friend like that. Every time we see her, her hair is like yellow or blue or yellow again, but it's never a normal hairstyle, so it'd be kind of cool if for the Halloween comic, she dresses up like a normal person. We actually mentioned that to my buddy, and she's touchy. We got hurt. Okay, so just thought I'd mention that. Love the show, and clitoris.
Hey guys, this is Bella, and I'm just wondering if I'm the only one who's noticed the social commentary in Snakes on a Plane. See, the snakes represent drugs, and the plane represents society. And the people on the plane represent the people within society. Now, the drugs attacking the people representing our drugs are attacking our society. And then Samuel Jackson represents the police trying to get rid of all drugs. It's a true metaphor for society. I hope I'm not the only one who feels that way. Bye.
Hey, Scott and Extra Life crew. It's Michael, or the Fremenusel on the forums, or the Middle East guy. I'm actually back in the United States right now, and for R&R. And on my way back, I was listening to your last show in which O mentions the C word, or something he absolutely knows nothing about, I'm sure, the clitoris. Well, in my industry, working with computers and different things like that, on most laptops, in the middle of the keyboard is that little dot that IBMs and other keyboards have that, you know, that nobody really uses or I can't use. And we usually call that, on that keyboard, that little dot, the clitoris, because nobody knows how to control it. So I figured you'd like that. Hope you have a great show, great job, and talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, this is Tarag Nantanu. I'm just calling to submit a crappy movie of the week, The Nun. I'm sitting here watching it with my friend because we saw the picture of a zombie nun, and it made us want to see it. This is better than Scary Movie. That is how stupid it is. There is a nun, a ghost zombie nun who chops off the arms of its victim in an elevator, and then as they're all running to the elevator seeing an armless victim, it turns around and waves at them. Not just that, but they rip off the Twilight Zone in this movie. They look at the window, and there's a nun on the wing of the plane! So I'm just saying, you know, you should rent this movie. It is the stupidest thing ever made. The Nun. It was made in 2005. Thank you, and I hope that this lands on the show.
The Tripod Network. What's on?